The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
We'll make you happy indeed. Come on, get happy. You know you want to. Welcome to the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we are here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How you doing this week?
It's been a really interesting week. So far, so good, though.
Well, I'm glad to hear your happy, sunny voice back here again. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll jump right into Sunny Stories. And the story I have this week for Sunny Stories I thought was a really good one. It's about veteran Dennis Rohde, and he'll always have a special place in his heart for other men and women who have served. In honor of Veterans Day, he decided to surprise one of the most honorable men he knows, his friend Danny. Dennis goes on to say, "Once upon a time, a long time ago, I joined the Army with my buddy Danny. We went to basic training in 2001, and 10 years later, when I got out, he stayed in. To pay him back for his years of service, Dennis followed Danny around for days to convince complete strangers to surprise Danny by paying for all of his purchases. He gave each person his credit card, no matter how big or small the transaction. They would pay for the gas, washing machine, whatever it was that Danny had purchased, and thanked him for being a patriot. Every single time it happened, Danny was completely stunned and speechless. You may not have the money to buy our veterans gifts, but you can still show how much you care about them this day, Veterans Day, or any day. Try green lighting a veteran," they suggest in the article, which is, I don't know if any of you have heard of that, but it's where you put a green light bulb in your front porch light or your home or your office to show your support for the military. Too many veterans go unseen as they return to civilian life without their uniforms. It's very important to extend our compassion and gratitude to the men and women who have served, even if we can't identify them in a crowd, and green lighting is a good way to do that. So this story I thought was very, very cool. It totally appealed to me because the guy is a practical joker anyway, and to be able to set up and orchestrate something like that, and the kindness that he showed his buddy, Danny, by paying for everything, and the look on Danny's face is just priceless. There's a video that you can put up along with the article. I thought it was a very, very touching, very funny, very cool story, and I could totally relate to the prank end of it. I thought that was very, very cool.
That is. It's a good idea. Yep. You know, I love the idea of supporting those who do serve. I mean, the last episode that we did, we were talking about some of the ideas of everybody should at least do a little bit of service. And I think that something like that would be, again, something that goes far to helping people understand that the veterans really do need to be taken care of and that they really are in a very large plight right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the sense of working with somebody else, you know, it's a great idea.
Wonderful idea. I encourage it. And I just, again, you know, the whole prankster side of it and the look on the guy's face is just priceless.
I love it.
So jumping into positive phenomenon for the week, this is a very interesting story as well. And it's about a very sick little girl named Poppy Smith. And she lives in, they say it's Barrow in Cumbria, England. She has suffered hypoxic brain damage. And the doctors told the family that she had a very slim chance of survival. And even if she did, she would suffer a tremendous amount of developmental problems. And the article goes on to say that 9 weeks later, she's actually crawling around and talking more than ever. The family and doctors are all amazed. And they attribute it to her older sister. The little girl's father, 34-year-old designer Stephen Smith, says it's all thanks to a special moment in the hospital with Poppy's older sister, 12-year-old Macy. I love their names. Their names are so cute. Macy blew a raspberry on her belly, and suddenly Poppy started giggling and laughing. We couldn't believe it. We firmly believe Poppy will walk and talk again, as she's been a fighter since the moment she was born. Poppy was born at just 29 weeks and weighed only 2 pounds. She spent her first 3 months of life in a neonatal ward, and was diagnosed with a peculiar condition called Mobius syndrome, which affects facial muscles. can cause difficulties in speaking, swallowing, and other problems. The doctors told the family that her condition would cause developmental delays, but she began to hit all of her milestones. Hopes were raised. Stephen says, they said that she might not walk or talk, but she started walking at 15 months, which is quite average for a premature baby. It was amazing to see her doing all those things. We managed to get her off her feeding tube around her first birthday, and she was getting better every single day. And then days before her second birthday, Poppy's mother, Amy, came into her room to wake her and found her struggling to breathe. Stephen says, we could feel her heartbeat, but she was unresponsive. We knew there was something seriously wrong. She was breathing, but she was sort of gasping for air. They rushed her to an area nearby hospital where she was stabilized before being transported to Liverpool's Alderhay Children's Hospital. The father recounts the next harrowing days, saying her eyes were starting to roll in the back of her head. A chest x-ray showed that her lungs were full of fluid and she had another respiratory arrest. That night, she started to develop twitches and seizures. She was deteriorating very quickly. When she came back from the scan, doctors took us into a side room and said that she had severe hypoxic brain damage. I asked if she was going to walk or talk again, but they said that they didn't know if she was even going to survive. When it started to sink in, it was heartbreaking. They told us we had to wait and see, but it wasn't looking good. I just wanted them to tell me that she was going to be okay. And then on Christmas Day, the family joined Poppy in the ICU unit. And that's when her big sister decided to blow on her belly. And all of a sudden, the little girl giggled. It was astonishing. We found out afterwards that it wasn't uncommon for people in the state to show emotion, but to us it seemed like she was responding. Then there were little twitches on her arms and legs. Doctors said that it could be spinal reflexes, but I felt like it was so much more. 9 weeks later, and little baby Poppy has once again defied the doctor's prognoses. Now the family's trying to raise about $12,000 to have Poppy receive 2 weeks of therapy at Cosmosuit Rehabilitation Unit in Italy, as they believe they must work quickly to try to help Poppy return to normal. The dad, Stephen, concludes by saying, she's still a little bit shaky, but I think she'll be able to walk on her own, and she's already come so far. We just want to raise enough money to try and get her a bit more help, and we don't want to waste any more time. Have you ever heard of such a miracle fighter?
That is really, really awesome, to say the least. I love that story. I love the
and
names,
the fact
too, yeah.
The whole raspberry thing, and you know, again, I feel that it's a miracle that the older sister was able to bring her back to consciousness. I think that's just an amazing, beautiful story. So going into Furry Heroes, this is a very short one. It's about Buddy, who is a dog specially trained to call 911 when his owner suffers seizures. And he actually grabbed the phone and whimpered for help. The man that took the call, the man that trained the animal, trained him to recognize when the owner had a seizure and respond by grabbing the phone and bringing it to him, to the owner. So when Buddy hears the operator, he puts the phone down and whimpers as though he's in distress. The 911 system matches the call to the address and dispatches emergency help. So in this case, Buddy actually got to ride in the ambulance with his owner to the hospital, and both were back home 2 days later. What do you think about that?
That is really, really cool. I love the idea of service animals and the things that they have been able to train them to do and the instinctual things that these animals know how to do. It's absolutely cool to me. And you know, I'd love to have a helper monkey myself.
I know, isn't that great? I had a monkey as a child. I told you that story several episodes ago, but yeah, monkeys are very cool.
They are.
They're fun. They're a lot of fun. Dirty little creatures, but they're fun. Jumping into Seeds of Hope, this one's a little bit longer, but I thought it was, again, a very amazing, inspiring story. And it's regarding a dad who bought a used car for his daughter. And, you know, when you buy a used car, sometimes it seems like they're very much in a rush nowadays. They don't always clean the windshield the way you like it, and occasionally you find a piece of paper. Well, that's exactly what happened to this family. When Kevin Duke bought a used car for his daughter, he found something that was much more telling than an old piece of trash. He found the history of the car in which he sat, the tears, the joy, and the love. And I lost it when I read this. But here is Kevin's story. He says, I brought my daughter Jada a used car a couple of weeks ago. Since she doesn't turn 16 until March, I'm driving it to see if there are any kinks to work out before I give it to her. Well, yesterday I'm in it tinkering around, and I open the storage compartment on top of the dash, which I've already opened a half a dozen times. And this time I notice a rubber mat in the bottom of it, and for whatever reason I pull it out. To my surprise, I find an envelope with a letter inside. I won't lie, I shed a few tears. And the letter, this really gets me. The letter says, "To the person that gets this car, I just wanted to let you know what a special vehicle you've bought. This car belonged to my mom. She passed away February 25th, 2015 in a house fire, along with my six-year-old daughter and my aunt. The last time my mom drove this car was the day she left us. Her and my daughter went out shopping and got their hair cut. This car holds a lot of special memories for me. My home and everything in it is gone. This car is all that I had left to touch. There was a mix-up with paperwork, and that's caused the car to be not paid off by insurance. It's very upsetting that I have lost my family, my home, and now I'm losing the very last link that I have with my mom and child through no fault of my own. I'm not mad at you. I hope this car is the best car that you've ever owned. I hope it runs for 100 more years. I hope the backseat is filled with kids and toys and random things. My family filled this car with lots of love and other sticky things. We took road trips, blared 80s and country music, and rolled the windows down. I've changed more diapers in the backseat than I can count. There's probably a sucker stuck or a crayon hidden somewhere that belonged to my baby. Maybe an entire chicken nugget, huh? I don't know if you'll see it, but there may be a dirty spot on the dashboard. My daughter and I would pretend to go on adventures while we sat in the driveway, and she always put her feet there. The dent on the rear driver's side fender and the dent in the passenger side door are where my daughter learned to ride and crash her bike a few months before her death. I know it's just a car to you, but to me it's so much more. Life happened in this car. Love, joy, and adventure we had in this car. So now that it's yours, please remember it isn't just a car, it's a memory. This car with all its quirks is the last piece of my family. Be nice to it. Played a country song. Big Green Tractor was my daughter's favorite song ever, or some Lynyrd Skynyrd Freebird. That song meant so much to us that I played it at their funerals. You're riding with angels, my angels. Talk to them if you like. I'm sure they'd like to see and hear about any new adventures you take in this car. By the way, the car's name is Sylvia. The very first day my mom got this car, we all rode around, and Dr. Hook's Sylvia's mother came on the radio. The name kind of just stuck when my daughter said that's what we should name the car. So please don't change your name. If you ever want to sell Sylvia, please try to find me. I just paid for 3 funerals. I can't afford to buy it right now. But hopefully I'll be in a better financial situation if you decide later that she's just not right for you anymore. Be blessed, be happy, live in love like we did. I wish you and Sylvia the best. Sincerely, Sabrina Archie." At first, the letters were, the author to the letters was anonymous. But Sabrina saw the post, came forward, identified herself as the car's previous owner, and the messages of support meant the world to her. They show like a Facebook post from Sabrina. "I just wanted to say that I've spent the last 2+ hours reading the comments on this post," and she goes on to say how they touched her and how they made her feel. And it's a very, very touching story. And trying not to lose it here.
As Maggie breaks
but
up.
But anyway, the long and the short of it is, as it turns out, they're actually trying to raise money for her to be able to take the car back. And to raise the money that the dad purchased for his daughter to buy the vehicle so that they can give the car back to her. And then with the proceeds that, you know, he purchased the car with originally, if he's to get the money to get reimbursed, he can buy his daughter a different car. So hundreds of people are now working together, donating money to buy the car back for Sabrina and make sure that Jada still gets a car. And I just think that that's amazing. It just leaves me speechless. Kevin gave an update and said, "We all chatted tonight, and the money will go to Kevin Duke to buy Jada a new car," which is him. "And they will return Sylvia to Sabrina as soon as the money is raised." And he just goes on to God bless everybody and thank them for their help. So I think that the story is going to have a happy ending. What about you?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. You know, for me, I'm I'm definitely a firm believer that cars have personalities, and I think that something along those lines, there definitely are those people still there, still taking part with that car. There's a history there, you know, and that history is tangible. It's real, whether people really understand that or not, it's real. And yeah, I would say that definitely is one case that is going to be that way. Yeah.
What a touching story. Huh?
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't think about it when you trade your car in, really. I mean, it got me thinking to all the vehicles I've owned over the years and the memories that I had in each specific vehicle and thinking about different dings and scratches and bumps. And, you know, obviously when you resell a vehicle, you know, the dealership will try and buff those out and, you know, take out the scratches and the bumps and the little things and clean the car out. But, you know, so many memories go into vehicles. And when you stop to think about it, it's actually kind of overpowering. You know, when you think, you know, I mean, the first car I had when I had my child, you know, and the memories that were made in that car and, you know, things that we did and places that we went, it's really neat, you know, when you stop and think about it. You know,
cars,
do a page of all the cars you've ever owned and memories that you had in each vehicle, and then to think that this poor woman lost almost the entirety of her family, you know, all at once, and all the memories that resided there. It's just very, very touching.
Cars absolutely have personalities. I have zero doubt about it. They have a consciousness. They have, you know, they're sentient, I think. I know... one car we had loved Jolene and hated me. It worked absolutely fine with no problems. Whenever Jolene was in the car and driving it. But if I got into the car, suddenly all kinds of problems started happening with the car. It's just the way that it was. You know, it did not like me at all. So
again, are you surprised? Come on, you got cute little Jolene and a grouchy old Ira.
Exactly. Exactly.
So then we go on to those crazy kids, and this one's kind of a neat one too. Diane Hollified Cup was on a return flight from Atlanta, Georgia, and she says that she experienced something that she will never, ever forget until the day she dies, for the best reason possible. The Johnson City, Tennessee resident had been on vacation with her husband in Europe, touring the historic sites related to World War II. What a cool trip, huh? That's really neat. During one of the tours, the guy described how soldiers' remains are found there all the time. So on a return flight across the Atlantic, Cup never expected to be honored by the presence of a war hero. When the flight from Germany landed in Atlanta, the captain announced that an Army private was on board escorting the remains of a World War II soldier to his final resting place in Houston, Texas. And this person would get the privilege to get off of the plane first. As the Army private proudly left the plane, the Iowa Ambassadors of Music Choir, who happened to be on the plane, rose from their seats and began singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Not a more honorable departure could ever have been planned for the World War II hero and his Army private escort. And Cup actually caught the moment on camera and filmed it. So you can take a look at that video that'll be tagged up on the website. On Ira's site, and it's very, very touching what these high school children chose to do for this fallen veteran. It's very, very emotional, and their voices are amazing. It's really, really, it's just very touching to listen to it.
Yeah,
and
I saw this video.
And they
repeat the chorus
of the Battle Hymn of the Republic several times with harmonic variations, and she actually uploaded the video to her Facebook page, and what she had to say about the moment was, on our flight from Germany, there was an Army private in uniform that so happened to be escorting the remains of a World War II soldier back home to Houston. The pilot announced that he would be exiting the plane first, and as he got up to leave, there were a group of young people who had been on tour in Europe, and all of a sudden they broke out singing Glory Hallelujah. This will bring a tear to your eye. And if you watch carefully, you can actually see the choir director conducting the high school singers from the back of the plane. But everybody on board was touched. And she said, to do that, to see those young people do that just melted my heart, she told the local television station. It was absolutely beautiful to see the respect that these children had. I just had to capture it. It was an awesome treat for me and something I will never forget. She got over 1.8 million views on her Facebook page. News agencies picked up the story and shared it with others across the country. And it's just, I thought that was amazing. and these children, again, you know, to take it upon themselves to do that is just, I think, very admirable. And it, again, restores my faith in humanity and in young people, especially that they, some of them do still have respect for our fallen soldiers and do understand and appreciate the fact that those men gave their lives so that we can have the freedom that we have today. And that,
exactly,
you know, because of these people like this, the veterans that have given their lives for these children, they're able to take that trip overseas and, you know, go to a choir concert or whatever the reason was for their flight. I think it was a choir concert, but isn't that great?
It really is. You know, the honor flight idea, you know, this idea of the plane is carrying the body of a soldier, you know, they're given special treatment, rightfully so. You know, this is somebody that made a sacrifice that all of us have to share, you know, and this type of thing, this event, this type of thing happening, I think is something that should happen every time. You know, it's amazing. I love it. The video is great. It really is. I definitely recommend watching it.
I agree wholeheartedly. It should be something that's standard. You know, many times I don't know that they even announce it, you know, so.
They do at times. Usually there's one or two soldiers that have been given the honor to escort the body, you know, and most people, I think, that have served, if they see one of those soldiers there, they know what's going on, and usually something will get said and it gets passed around the flight that it happens.
Yeah, it should be standard. I definitely agree. But again, these children took it upon themselves, and I thought that was wonderful. So those are our stories for this time. And if we go into happiness homework, very, very simple for you this week. I was at the grocery store the other day, and the wind was blowing as it tends to do here. And, you know, carts are running into cars, banging people's cars, and it just, it's very frustrating to see. You know, I understand that a lot of us are in such a rush, and it's cold out, and a lot of us have small children that we're trying to, you know, get the kids in the safety belts and get them in the car seats and then get the groceries in the car, and you're looking at the snow coming down or, you know, the wind blowing and you're freezing to death and you want to get your children out of the elements and yourself out of the elements. And, you know, people are elderly or disabled. They're not able to always walk a cart back. Sometimes it's just plain disrespect, but I've noticed a lot of times it's someone that just really doesn't simply have the physical capacity to put the cart back in the rack. So if you're at the grocery store and you're heading inside, just why not take somebody else's cart from them if you notice someone loading their grocery and bring that one inside with you? And it saves work for the cart boys that have to go out and collect all those carts. It saves damage to vehicle. And, you know, there are some stores out there like Aldi's where you have to put the cart back and then, you know, you put a quarter in the slot to get the cart out. And in order to get your refund, you have to put the cart back in and lock it. I think that's an amazing idea. I think every grocery store should do that. And if that's the case, a lot of times I'll pass it forward. Like if I take the quarter and put it in the cart when I'm done shopping, if I see somebody coming at me, you know, to approach the store or go to the cart rack, I'll just give them the cart, you know. And I noticed locally that there are many times where it's paid back to me. You know, I'll go to get the cart, and I'll be walking into the store, and someone will say, here, just take this. And I'll be like, here's your quarter. And they say to me, no, don't worry about it. Pass it on. And I just find that it's a very, very simple gesture, but it's very touching. And, you know, like I said, you know, elderly people, disabled people, people with small children in the cold weather especially, it's very hard for them to try and manage everything and get everybody safely in the vehicle and have time to put the cart back or even to leave your children alone in today's society. You know, it's scary to leave your children alone and turn your back even for that minute or two to take the cart back to the rack if it's across the lot, you know. So they're not willing to do that and sacrifice the safety of their children. And in a sense, I can understand that. It's not always laziness. So if you just grab the cart and bring it back inside, you know, it makes everybody happy. There are no accidents. There are no dents. The carts aren't blown across the parking lot at 90 mile an hour. I like to race carts anyway, so for me it's just fun. You know, I'm like hanging on the back of the cart, running like a little kid and, you know, coasting along. And
I do that too.
When I have my boy with me, we race, you know.
I'll tell you what.
Make it a fun time. time.
As somebody that, you know, I used to work for a grocery and I'd have to go out there in the middle of the night to get all the carts. And I'll tell you what, as somebody that had to go out there in the middle of wintertime, snow falling like crazy, you know, or freezing rain coming down and you're still out there having to schlep these carts all over the place. You know, it's very appreciated when people actually do that kind of thing, to say the least. You know, it's already a cruddy job. It's already a cruddy job.
It's crazy because up here, like, there's snow and the parking lots aren't plowed clean, let's face it, you know? I mean, it's not that the plow drivers are necessarily doing a sloppy job, but with so many traffic, you know, so many cars moving in and out of the parking lot, you know, and pedestrians, it's hard for them to get a good clean scrape. You know, and so what happens here is, you know, you have snow that's not scraped off, and then when it gets cold and freezes again, then you have those terrible ice ruts. And just to try and push one cart alone across a parking lot and try and maintain your balance, especially if it's icy and, you know, everything hasn't been salted over, it's quite the project. And, you know, to be a young kid, even if it's an ox of a boy, you know, pushing 10 to 15 carts under those conditions in the freezing cold with the wind blowing, it sucks.
It does.
You know, so you're also doing them a favor as well. So that was that one for this week. Jumping into Holistically Healthy, the healing herb I chose this week is arrowroot. The reason I chose this is because I happened to have the instance to go to an Amish store, actually it was a Mennonite store about an hour from here that I don't typically get to, and they were selling all their fresh herbs and spices, you know, pure, like dirt cheap in these little containers, and I picked up some arrowroot. It's a powdery, highly digestible starch. The reason that I got it is because, I don't know about you, but starch for me has been an issue. Cornstarch lately, when I cook with a recipe with cornstarch, I notice that it gives me problems afterwards. My stomach will get upset. So I decided that I was going to try arrowroot. And it's a highly digestible starch that's commonly used in cooking throughout the Caribbean. The plant, which is considered an herb, is native to the Caribbean and thrives in the tropical climate. The starch comes from the rhizomes of the Maranta arundinacea plant. St. Vincent and Jamaica are the main producers of the arrowroot starch. The name comes from the indigenous Caribbean people and the manner in which they used the plant to treat wounds from poisoned arrows. Because of its digestibility, the starch was used medicinally in Victorian times to wean infants from mother's milk and nourish those with dietary restrictions. It makes an excellent substitute for talcum powder in cosmetics, and it was once used in the papermaking industry. It's gluten-free. It's an excellent substitute for cornstarch and flour as a thickening agent in sauces, gravies, pie fillings, and puddings. It's neutral tasting and tolerates acidic ingredients like citrus. The starch also freezes well and dissolves well at lower temperatures. In fact, it must be cooked over low heat so it doesn't endure high temperatures cooking, and it doesn't reheat well. It doesn't do well in milk-based cream sauces, just so that you know if you're a baker or a cooker. But it does bake well in cakes, cookies, and biscuits made with milk. And it's also known as the obedience plant, which I thought was kind of interesting. Some of the uses are for lightening a loose facial powder, for those of us that have gone to the loose powder when we wear makeup, and the organic powders. You can mix it in to lighten the shade if your shade's too dark, or if you're, you know, it's wintertime and your tan has faded. You can use it as a dry shampoo, which is a lot more cost effective, let me tell you, than some of the dry shampoos on the market. I'm not a typical user of dry shampoo, but I do have a can that I keep on hand for when I go camping, so that if I'm not readily available to a water source, I thought I'd pick it up and try it. And it's like $8, $9, $12 a can, depending on what kind, or even more, that you get. And I understand that dry shampoo is kind of a cult thing now. A lot of people are using it. I personally don't. I just keep it on hand, like I said, for camping. But the arrowroot container that I got is probably a good 4 or 5 ounces, and it was like $1.29. It was wicked cheap. You can use it as a base for homemade makeup, for do-it-yourself makeup projects. Foundations using a blend of arrowroot, cinnamon, and cocoa powder are a major trend, and you can adjust the measurements to get the shade exactly right for your skin tone. And the link has some recipes on there from Wellness Mama, who I love. It also helps to clear acne because it absorbs the oils. and it promotes natural healing because it penetrates the skin. Rubbing some into the skin before bed and in the morning can reduce oil production, soften the skin, and dry out and heal blemishes. So for my really cool recipes, I decided, and this is something else that's coming round and about, a lot of people use those deodorant stones because studies have shown that deodorants that you buy in the market, you know, Secret and different brands like that, a lot of them have chemicals that have been shown to cause breast cancer in women.
Most are made with aluminum, yeah.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is if you're sensitive, the scents and the, you know, the chemicals that are put into the deodorants can actually trigger an allergic reaction and make you break out. So a lot of people are looking for alternative remedies and holistic things to use as a deodorant. So I thought I'd try this recipe. It's how to make a probiotic deodorant bar. And you could put it in a plastic deodorant container for easier application. And it's not very hard. So deodorant bars are similar to homemade sunscreen bars, but without the zinc oxide for sun protection. And with baking soda and arrowroot, it adds in the odor protection. And they're slightly thicker than an original typical deodorant recipe. So they can be used as a bar rather than, you know, to put it in, like, you can save like an old Secret container and stuff that, or buy them one from a distributor. But I would probably recycle, you know, like an old deodorant container. So there you go. It's very, very easy. All you need is coconut oil or half as much of a liquid oil if you're allergic to coconut. Shea butter, cocoa butter, or mango butter, or a mixture of all three. Beeswax. Vitamin E oil, if you prefer. That's listed as an option. And some baking soda. And if you have sensitive skin, you can use the arrowroot instead of the baking soda. And then it also calls for organic arrowroot powder or non-GMO cornstarch, 2 to 3 capsules of high-quality probiotics that don't need to be refrigerated. She recommends BioCult brand, which I'm not familiar with that brand, but that's what she chooses. And then whatever essential oils of your choosing. And she recommends about 20 drops. And that would be... you know, to give it a scent. I mean, I guess you could use it unscented, but I think I would prefer a scent. And then the deodorant bar ingredients are 1/2 cup coconut oil, 1/2 cup shea butter, coconut butter, or mango butter, 1/2 cup plus 1 tablespoon beeswax, 1 teaspoon vitamin E oil, again, optional, 3 tablespoons of the baking soda or the arrowroot or cornstarch, and then 1/2 cup of organic arrowroot, 2 to 3 capsules of the probiotics, and then the essential oils. You just combine this coconut oil, shea or other butter, and beeswax in a double boiler or a glass bowl or a smaller saucepan with 1 inch of water in it. Combine it in a quart-sized glass mason jar with a lid instead, and then place it in a small saucepan of water until it's melted. Turn the burner on and bring the water to a boil. Stir the ingredients constantly until they're melted and smooth. Remove from heat and add the vitamin E oil if you use it, the baking soda, arrowroot powder, probiotics, and essential oils. Make sure that the mixture, though, is not too hot to the touch. Warm is okay, so that the heat does not kill the probiotics. That's important. Gently stir it by hand until all the ingredients are incorporated. And if you're going to be putting them into bars, you can just pour it into muffin tins or other molds while still liquid. If you'll be putting it into an old deodorant container to use like a stick deodorant, let the mixture harden for about 15 to 20 minutes at room temperature. And when it's about the consistency of peanut butter, use a spoon to scoop it into the deodorant tube and pack it down tightly to fill it. Then leave the cap overnight off for one full night to completely harden before use. And this recipe can be adjusted to make any quantity that you'd like by increasing the amount or doubling the amount of ingredients used. And this recipe batch made enough deodorant for 1 stick and for about 1 2/3 months it lasted. So it lasts for quite a long while, and it's very, very cost effective. You can also cut the recipe in half if you want to make a smaller amount. So what do you think about that?
The vitamin E can be used if you put in more vitamin E, like if you make a bigger batch, you'd want to use more vitamin E because the vitamin E is actually a preservative for this kind of thing. So it will help to keep it like from going, spoiling for a lot longer period of time, basically. I always use vitamin E whenever I do any kind of ointments or salves or bars or anything along those lines, just because it helps to keep it for a much longer period of time.
Have you ever done the deodorant bars or the antiperspirant sticks or anything like that?
I have not for myself, but Jolene does them for herself, and it works really well, really well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What kind of oils does she use? Because I've got some in mind that I want to try.
She does coconut oil for hers.
Oh, no, I mean the essential oils. What's that?
Gotcha. I think she uses a combination between lavender and tea tree oil. She likes to use the tea tree oil scent a lot.
Nice. Well, I like the tea tree oil because that's a natural, it's a natural oil that you can use. It was in one of my recipes before as an all-natural bug spray.
Yeah.
So if you're going camping and you have the tea tree oil and the deodorant, it also would be a deterrent from bugs.
It works.
So that's really
it
cool.
works really well as a deterrent. Yeah, even better than citronella, I think.
It is. I believe it's more effective than citronella, in my opinion. When I go camping and I rub myself in that, it seems like I have much better protection than I do from the citronella. I mean, I tried the candles and stuff for years. I've got the torches, and it just seems like tea tree oil works better.
It does,
and, you know, it's natural, you know, so it's not going to be anything that's going to hurt you, and it can absorb into the skin. I like the way it feels. You know, it seems like it blends in very easily with the skin. It's not greasy, you know, overly greasy.
Right.
Well, let's see. You want to dance and jam while we go pee and get coffee?
We sure can, yes.
Woo! I love this one. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Indeed. Here you guys
I'll
go.
I'll be dancing.
Enjoy.
Wild thing, I think I love you, but I wanna know for sure, so come on and hold me tight, I love you.
This is one of those songs that's been remade more times than anything else, I think. Wild Thing by the Trogs. Awesome song. The Troglodytes, they're an English rock band formed in Andover, Hampshire in 1964. This was not the only hit that they had. They also did With a Girl Like You and Love Is All Around. Really great songs. I like Wild Thing. I don't like the original version of it as much as I like a couple of the remakes that are out there, but it's an awesome song.
I have to admit that, I have remakes that are my favorites, and I like the remake versions better than the original, too. I have to admit on this one, but love the song. I was jamming while I was peeing in my coffee, for real. So So there you go. I'm glad you liked it.
Great song.
And
love it.
You heard. And so I didn't give you a new one this week. Let's see. What else can we go into here now? We can do positive affirmations in scripture. My friends do not judge me, nor do they influence what I do with my life. And this one came to me because speaking with people and working with people the last couple of weeks, that's been another issue that I've come across, is there seems to be a lot more judgment going around these days, especially in days when we're not supposed to be judgmental. We're supposed to be better human beings in the whole, you're a new ager, the spiritual enlightenment and raising vibrations and all that other hoo-ha. You know, these are days where we're supposed to be loving our brother and sister, you know, and give people a chance out there. You know, don't be so harsh. You know, let's think about yourself in their position, you know, and try and think about what their situation is and what they're going through. And if you don't understand, ask them. You know, a lot of times people just want someone to talk to. They'd be happy to find out that someone else really cared enough about them to know what they were going through, rather than just beating somebody up for what you feel is a wrong life choice. Number one, it's really not any of your business. And number two, we're not supposed to judge others. It's just not a way to go. How would you feel if you were judged? How do you feel when you're judged? So that one came up quite a bit in the past couple of weeks. And I wanted to share that affirmation with you. As always, you know, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your phone, write it down on an index card, or, you know, sticky note. The more that you say them, the more that you'll start to believe them, and you'll actually incorporate that into your life. And let's see, I went with the ESV, not the King Jimmy this time. James 4:11-12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge. He was able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So that's my scripture quote for the week. And let's see, we can go into, you want to do Comedy Corner? How much time we got left, bro?
We can do that. We've got about 15 minutes.
15 minutes? For
yeah,
real?
For real.
Oh, hoo, we're going to have some fun. I might have to engage you in some more conversation over here.
Oh, no. Conversing?
Mm-hmm.
No
now
way.
Now you're feeling better. I'm milking you for all it's worth, bro. I'm going to make you, like, talk. I haven't gotten a Webby of the week. You know, no.
I know. It's terrible.
About ants and deodorant and, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, as far
as never living that one down, bro.
As far as what you were just discussing, actually, you know, the friends not judging me and all that kind of stuff. You know, one of the things that I grew up with, I was a big judgmental person on myself. I had such a big problem judging myself, you know. So
I'm with you. Yep.
I got to the point in my life where I had to make a decision of an attitude change. And the attitude change that I got basically was, you know, if you don't like me for who and what I am, heck with you. There's 7 billion other people in the world that just might, and you're not worth my time. So the same token can be used for those that judge you. You know, if you're surrounding yourself with toxic people, you're going to have a toxic life. Sometimes you need to go through and just clean your house. You know, sometimes you just need to say, okay, for my own sanity's sake, I've got to get rid of a lot of this baggage that's here. And, you know, make yourself as drama free as you can get. That's kind of my thought on it for the day, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that one, Ira. I really do. No Webby fact?
I guess not. but there's a life fact right there for you.
All right, I'll take what I can get from you. You owe me twice next week.
Indeed.
And for those of you who don't know, we record at very, very strange times. And we have a lot of fun with it. It's usually a 2-hour conversation and then a taping, but
exactly.
That's what we do. All for you, folks. All for you.
3-hour conversation for a 1-hour show.
For real. Let's see. We can go into Comedy Corner.
We can do that. Here you guys go.
You
enjoy.
Do that?
Enjoy, guys. This is great. I love this one.
Me too.
Missouri is a very special place to one group of people. And it's the Mormons, not the ones that went to Utah. Joseph Smith, the leader, had a son, Joseph Smith Jr. That man believed that the original Garden of Eden was 35 miles north of Kansas City. Not in Mesopotamia. No. Missouri. They also believe that when Christ comes back, that's where he's going. First stop, Kansas City. He's not going to go to Bethlehem or Jerusalem. He is getting a Southwest flight. And look, I am from Missouri, and if you think Jesus is going back to Kansas City, 35 miles outside of it, by the way, then you must believe that Jesus is a big fan of barbecue and crystal meth, because that is what's happening 35 miles outside of Kansas. My whole family lives there. Well, my parents are in Florida in the winter right now, as most Midwest old people with a car. They leave on December 26th. They can't, they're like geese. They just leave. Flocks of them leave for the Midwest. And my parents bought a new car. They haven't had a new car in 10 years. They bought a black Lincoln Town Car. Little did they know that that's one of the more expensive rides on the Uber app. So I, unbeknownst to them, have signed them up to be Uber drivers. Pick up other old people on the way to Florida, make a little spending cash. Because my mom will do whatever the phone says. I'm telling Jack, we have to pull over. We're the blue dot, and it's saying pull over. There are people that need a ride for some reason. I don't know why the phone is doing this. It's never done this before, but I'm afraid if we don't, there's going to be a problem, Jack. They go to Sarasota now on that side, but for about 3 years in a row, they went to a place called The Villages. I don't know if any of you have seen it advertised on TV, or if you go to their website. There's nothing like it in the world. It's the largest retirement community in the nation, well, in the world, probably. It's 35 minutes, or if my mom's driving, 8.5 hours away from the Orlando airport. Some guy thought of it. He thought, I'm going to buy all this crappy swamp land, and I'm going to make Nirvana for old people. I'll build it. They will come, and they came. There's 350,000 of them. They have their own zip code. They have their own post office. They've got golf courses, swimming pools. It really is something. And my parents were there, and I go, oh, good, you're going to be at The Villages? That's great, because I have shows in Florida, and I have nowhere to go in between shows. My mom goes, well, you can come over here, but you can't spend the night on the property. I said, why not? She goes, the law at The Villages, Kathleen, is no one under the age of 55 is allowed to spend the night on the property. I said, really, 55? So you're telling me at age 48, I'm going to have to again go get a fake ID.
And I was raised Baptist, so I was in church all day on Sunday. I wanted to be a Catholic so bad when I was growing up. I used to envy Catholics, because Catholics, they got in and out. 1 hour means 1 hour to a Catholic. I've seen Catholics riot after 1 hour. Hey, hey! We gonna be late for bingo. I would have Catholic friends come over. Hey, man, play some football. I gotta go to church. We'll play when we get out. I'm Baptist. You won't see me until Monday. Because we would stay in church. Sunrise service, Sunday school, regular service. Then we'd go visit the sister church, come back for evening service. And people wonder why we see visions. We hungry. That's true. After the third service, I'm walking around. I see a chicken sandwich.
I was raised in a Baptist church. I know all about that one, that's for sure.
Isn't that great? I love to be able to pick fun at myself and my religion and then just look at it overall in a comedic sense, but appreciate everybody's differences and beliefs at the same time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just to remind everybody, folks, it's not bashing a specific religion or your belief structure. It's just really fun to be able to poke fun at ourselves and have a good time with it, you know, all in the essence of just enjoying it. And, you know, Ira knows more than anybody that I'm a very, very spiritual person. Personally speaking, I am a Reformed Catholic. I do still follow some of the traditions, and I do attend a local church on occasion. But my beliefs are more, very, very more spiritually based than they were throughout the course of my lifetime. And Christianity is where it's at for me. And that's why you see that influx through a lot of the shows. But please always know that we love and respect everybody, no matter what your belief structure, as long as you're not hurting anyone or harming anyone. You know, I've been shown where I'm going, and you can believe where you're going, and we can all, you know, just have love and respect for each other. So it's all in an instance of good fun and lightheartedness. And, you know, the show throughout, you know, the thread of miracles and just, you know, the first stories, especially the first Sunday of the month, to be able to share positive stories, you know, with everybody. I really hope that somebody is able to take away, everybody rather, is able to take something away from each of the shows that we do. We put so much work and effort into this, and we bring it to you for free. We don't get paid for this, and we devote our time just because we love to see people laugh and have fun and be positive. And in a world full of negativity right now, it's so important to have that shot in the arm, I think. And I have noticed that a couple other shows are starting to copy the format that was given to me. And, you know, imitation is the best form of flattery. You know, the more that we can spread love and light and happiness and just, you know, just a good time, you know, music, comedy, recipes, any information that we can share with each other is a positive thing, you know. So I hope you all appreciate and enjoy the show as much as we enjoy putting it on for you, because it's definitely an effort of love. It really is. So having said that, what do you think about, we can go into things my dad says. How much time have we got left?
We've got about 9 minutes.
9 minutes?
Oh, I'm sorry, eight minutes.
8 minutes? Okay, well, let's talk about the comedy bits. What do you think about them? Weren't they hysterical?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Kathleen. I just think her humor is hysterical.
It is. I love it. I have actually never encountered her before. You sent me the file for that one, and I love it. It's great. For the guy thing, you know, like I said, I was raised in a Baptist religion, and I'll tell you what, the one thing I remember about after church was we always went down to the basement of the church to have fellowship. Fellowship was kind of the time period where you got together and talked about everybody. That was pretty much what it was. Everybody talked about everybody.
That was Anthony Griffith, and I came across him by accident, and I thought he was hysterical. And, you know, again, finding things that are clean to promote on the air for a family-based show is difficult. So
it's hard.
The last couple of episodes, yeah, I've been taking pieces out of, like, hour-long stand-up comedies and listening to them, and it's addictive. It really is, you know, and it's really great after a long, hard day to be able to listen to something like this and just, like, have fun with it and laugh.
Yeah.
Kathleen Madigan was the first one, and her dryness, you know, she's quite raunchy at times, but her dryness, she kills me. I think she's hysterically funny. And so we'll probably be seeing more of those guys in the future. And the Uber driver thing, for real, my dad listens to my show on a regular basis because he's just a good dad and he loves me. And I am totally going to sign him up to be a Uber driver. I think that's the coolest thing ever. Yeah, I think that would be hysterical, you know, just like sign him up somewhere for a Uber driver position.
I could see you doing that.
Hi, Dad. Love you.
I could see you doing that.
So we go into things my dad says. All Okay. With the area that I live in and the environment, the temperatures, and like we were saying on a previous episode, the temperature changes so drastically. It's like one day it's 19 degrees and the wind's blowing, and then the next day it's 35, and then it's back down to zero and the wind's blowing and snow's, you know, 2 to 3 feet, and then back up to, you know, maybe 45, 50. And so my dad was always on my case growing up to check my tire pressure. So for things my dad says this week, check your tire pressure, will ya? Check your tire pressure. Check your tires lately. So I was growing up, raised, check your tire pressure, especially with him being a mechanically inclined person. And have you seen the Facebook joke that's going around where it's a picture of a tire gauge and a young girl posted it? Have you seen that?
I know there's been a lot of memes running around lately of the opposite way that you're supposed to do things. Like, you know, if you want to, now that springtime's around, don't forget to change your positive to the negative on your battery so that you can have the air conditioner running instead of the heat.
That's a good one. That's a classic one. I won't say who I'll try that on, but I have somebody in mind that would totally fall for that. And you know my story from several episodes ago about how, you know, I was stranded and couldn't get someone to jump my battery because they were totally convinced that I was going to explode their car or ruin their car if they let me jump off their battery, whatever. But, yeah, people are really gullible nowadays. And, again, that's a product of our society.
Yep.
You know, we're not raised to do things by ourselves anymore. And we don't learn these things, the tech schools, the trade schools. And parents don't pass along, you know, how to change a tire or, you know, everybody's got AAA and, you know, tire jack. What is that? You know, where do you even find it? Most kids don't even know where to find it under the floorboard in the back of the car in their trunk. So, you know, it's kind of funny. But my dad was always a big one for that, especially with the temperature changes because, you know, the newer cars will tell you check tire pressure, you know. And a very funny story, we were out getting air one day, my girlfriend and I, and in one of my tires that was low. She didn't know, not even how to put the money into the machine to check the tire pressure. And, you know, it was one of those ones where the gauge is automatically attached. So, you know, you unscrew the cap and then you put your money in and then you check your tire pressure and then you inflate or deflate as necessary, right? Well, it was quite the funny story, but she had no idea what she was doing. And I just let her mess around with it. And before we were done, the tire was almost flat, then overinflated. It was like a half hour ordeal, but I left my butt off. I thought it was hysterical. So, yeah, with the changing in temperatures, make sure you check your tire pressure for safety. If you don't have a newer car where it tells you, check it, you know, maybe like just twice a month is what I do, especially with the variance in temperatures that we've been having here locally. And so, you know, it'll keep you safe on the road so that your tire doesn't go flat or you don't go out one morning and your tire is totally flat because you haven't checked it recently and it was low. But the tire gauge joke was a girl posted a picture of her tire gauge on Facebook. Her dad or somebody must have given it to her to keep in her car. And her mother drove her car and found the tire gauge and thought it was like a bong to smoke pot.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yep. We need to have a talk now, Mary.
Yeah, we need to have a talk. I thought that was classic, you know?
I love it.
And I have one in my, I actually put one in my kid's car and it's like, I had to show them how to use it and how to use the gauge and everything like that. And that actually happened. One of their friends got in the car. I was like, dude, what do you have in your car? What is this? I don't want to be in the car with you. What if I get stopped? What if I get a ticket? What if you get a ticket? I don't want to be an accomplice. I'm like, seriously? No idea what a tire gauge is.
It's a really good idea. I would recommend everybody out there, they get one of those battery operated tire inflators, you know, little small air compressors that you can get and you can just keep them in your trunk or something like that. And it runs off of the used to be cigarette lighters in your car. You don't get those anymore, but you know, they're now the device activators, you know,
but, the iPod charger or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. But
phone charger.
I would highly recommend picking one of those up.
Yeah, they've gotten slim, too. If you've noticed some of the newer ones that have come out, they used to be about the size of a car battery, but now they're kind of slim and compact. Looks like a little small toolkit, you know?
Yep. It's a great idea to have one.
they're really a good gift to give for your kids for Christmas or for an elderly person. And, you know, I just go with the standard old $3 or whatever bottle of Fix-A-Flat. You can do that, too, as an inexpensive alternative. But, yeah, always keep things like that, jumper cables, antifreeze, extra stuff like that in the car. I keep a backpack with a spare change of clothes and some water in it and a couple of blankets in case I ever get stuck, you know. And my dad, you know, he goes so far as empty paint cans. If you put a toilet paper roll in it and soak the toilet paper, and it's got to be high content, it's like 80% alcohol, you can actually light that in your car if you're stranded and use it as a heater. Emergency road flares, flashlights, all of those things are great things to have in your car. And as my dad says, always be prepared. So check your tire pressure, keep the emergency things in your cars like flashlights and, you know, windshield wiper fluid, and lock de-icer is a great thing to have in the house. And I did try the recipe that they was touting all over Facebook a couple years ago, the vinegar and water to de-ice your car windshield. Have you tried that?
Yeah, it definitely worked on ours. But we also added just a little bit of alcohol into it as well to keep it from freezing.
I was just going to say that because I did the vinegar and I didn't have the ratio right or something. It did absolutely nothing. Threw a little bit of alcohol in there and bam, did the trip. No problem. Rubbing alcohol. So there you go. A couple of pointers to get you through the wintry months and through the temperature changes. And my dad knows everything about everything. That's why I love him. That's why he's my dad, you know, because he teaches me things. I'm just scoring points because, you know, I'm going down to see him in a couple of weeks for the first time in a while, and I want a really good home-cooked meal and a break off from cooking. So, you know, he's got me covered. I love you, Dad.
Awesome.
So there you go. That's our show for the week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Ira, for everything that you do. And please give us a listen next time around. We're first and third Sundays of the month, 9 p.m. EST on LNMRadioNetwork.com or OpenEyesNetwork.com. There are a ton of affiliates that carry us, and I can never think of the names of them. Can you give a shout-out to some of those?
Let's see. There's K98 Talk. There's WCET down in, South Carolina. There's High Points Radio. High Points Radio over in New Jersey land and New York area. And it's just an awesome bunch
Jersey
of people.
Family. That's awesome. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and thanks to all of those who carry us. We really appreciate everything you do. And Ira, thank you as always for everything. I love you, bro.
Love you too, Maggie. Have fun. Have a great week, everybody. Keep safe out there. We will talk to you again soon.
See you next time, folks.